Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Dr. Van Beek.
Yeah, Dr. Van Beek is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be an answer to a question. Who's the more knowledgeable biblical scholar in this podcast?
I actually, one of the people I knew put on Facebook about somebody I don't know saying, you know, one of the wisest theologians I've ever met. And I wrote back and said, I thought I was the
theologian. I believe you misspoke when you wrote that.
And they didn't respond, so I don't know if they took it seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
Go figure, eh?
But I was serious, so.
Yeah, these people.
I guess it's okay.
These people are idiots.
She was talking about her high school teacher.
Honestly. Yeah.
I know. The levels, how low can you go?
Help me out here, people. Throw me a bone.
I'm the boss.
That's right. So, my friend, we're making a large transition away from a book that supposedly was written by Paul, or could have been written by Paul, to 2 Corinthians.
Which could have been written by Paul.
Which could have been written. Actually, we're pretty sure it was written by Paul.
The conservative authors say that this book is, if anything is Pauline, this is Pauline. Yeah. If anything is Paul, this is Paul. Yeah. But don't forget, any book of the New Testament, somebody will write a commentary on how come it's not Paul, and it was one of his students or something like that. But this one, people are pretty sure it's Paul.
Okay, well, hey, so yeah. We'll take Paul.
Yeah, and people may wonder why we've chosen 2 Corinthians instead of 1st. It was because I thought 2 Corinthians was a lot shorter than 1st, and we get it done by Christmas. As it turns out, it is shorter than 1 Corinthians by 2 chapters.
Oh.
Yeah, it's 13, oh, 3 maybe. This is 13, I think. 1 Corinthians is 16 or something like that. This also is shorter chapters, so.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help us because we go chapter by chapter.
That's true. Yeah. But as long as we've got time for our Christmas special, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I actually saw a Christmas special by one of the, not Jeremiah, but was one of those guys. And they had dancers and stuff in. I was quite surprised that a conservative Christian show would have that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was okay. I mean, none of them interest me a great deal, but.
No, but at least it reached a solid 2 out of 10. So
it was, yeah, it was a good 2. It was good 2. I'm old enough now that I'm starting to enjoy, the guy, they did all of the different homecoming things and all that. I can't remember who it is now. All the musical homecomings. It was all Southern gospel stuff.
Oh, Bill Gaither?
Bill Gaither, yeah. Bill Gaither. Wow. Homecoming. Wow. And there's a few of those that I'm actually thinking, I'm starting to like these. It's not the same situation as liking musicals, but it's, it does mean you're...
Yeah, not... You haven't got, like, Singing in the Rain and La La Land on repeat, but, you know, I get it.
I have not seen La La Land, and I've been told I should, but I have not.
It's quite good.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it at least a 1 thumbs up.
Oh, there you go. Well, we always have to be cautious on this, yes. On this widely viewed podcast. Widely listened to podcast.
So let me
give you just a bit of background, Stephen.
Sure.
This is Paul and Timothy. And we think it was written about 55. This is 2 Corinthians. It's probably, there were probably 3 or 4 Corinthians that were written. He refers to another book that he was in this one, or in 1 Corinthians. He'll refer to another book. And in this one, he'll talk about a painful visit that he had. Hmm. But this is, well, we only have 2 that have made it into the canon, and that are these 2. And the others are gone, completely gone. So we don't have them at all. Even though he makes reference to them. So as I said, about 55, you remember Paul, we think, died in the mid-60s, early to mid-60s. And this is probably a decade before that this one was written.
Okay.
Yeah. The Corinthians, Corinth was a seaport. And as all seaports, it had a lot of stuff going on. and a lot of loose living, mm-hmm. you know. They actually used an expression, so I've been told, Corinthian girl was something that they would refer to for a prostitute.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the book of Corinthians. And this one here, Paul spends this entire book defending his ministry. The person that taught me this, we did a Greek exegetical study of 2 Corinthians, which was the other reason I chose 2, because I'd actually spent, you know, formal time studying it. Mm-hmm. And he said this one was probably the most pastoral book in the New Testament. It's in just that Paul is defending his ministry.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And he's with Timothy, and there's a bunch of we things going on in here. And oddly enough, the commentary I read said, the we chapters is probably Paul using an editorial we, what we used to call the royal we.
Right.
Where he's just referring to himself, even though he uses we. I still think he was with he's with Timothy. I mean, this is Paul and Timothy.
Yeah.
Writing them.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was alone, but that's okay. We can take that either way.
Okay.
So ready to go?
Let's do it. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Acadia. Acacia?
Yeah, it's some kind. Isn't there an acacia nut or something that you can buy?
Ah, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace to you and peace from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so this is an epistle. And epistles are pretty much follow a pattern. Hmm. It was epistle just means letter. This was an early letter, and in our letters we sign the bottom and say, you know, love Larry.
Larry. Get lost.
Here. But in the New Testament times, you would start the letter with who you were.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, remember why we thought Hebrews? Why some people think it wasn't Paul, because it doesn't start that way.
Right.
And so he just starts off, who am I? I'm Paul. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, not a disciple. There are many who think he was one of the 12. But if you ever go to the book of Acts, you find out he wasn't chosen as one of the 12.
Right.
They drew lots. They threw dice and decided on Matthias, Matthias.
Right.
Yep. I work with a guy named Matthias. He's French. He's a soldier. Does his job very well. Not a pleasant guy. I think he would say of me, he's not pleasant or does his job very well. That's on the ambulance. So anyway, so he says, you know, I'm an apostle by the will of God. Hmm. So it was, he says in other places, you know, I was born out of time and all that stuff because he came later on, remember?
Right.
And then he says, and Timothy. So it's not by the will of God and Timothy. He says it was by the will of God, and Tim's with me. I got Tim. Yeah, we went for coffee, and
and hey, we're together now.
There's Tim Hortons. There's also a second cup coffee shop in around Winnipeg called Timothy's.
Oh,
yeah, very biblical.
I did not see that coming.
Huh. And it's to the church in Corinth, of course, and the people in Achaia. So they're in the region of Achaia. And so he says, now, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Some people spend an awful lot of time on this because it is important. But I'll just say it was a Christian greeting to say grace and peace from God the Father.
Yeah. Okay. It was like a really nice opening, a nice greeting to them.
It is a nice greeting. He starts off not angry.
Yeah. Saves that for later.
It does change. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Verse 3, folks. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll just do it paragraph by paragraph, I think. Is that good for you,
my friend? Yes, it is.
Okay. So, of course, now, so all of this is about comfort. And the thing that Paul is talking about is the suffering that he's going through right now. And the commentary, of course, that I read said, we don't know which particular sufferings he's referring to. They also think he's just talking to about himself. I think he's with others, and they're all getting hurt for Jesus.
Right. There's
and it's interesting that he says, you know, it's in this affliction, we're doing this for your comfort. Hmm. Right. And he says, and when we're comforted, we're doing that for your comfort. So we're doing all of this stuff for you guys. Mm-hmm. And you're going to find out later that there's a very strong reason that he's pointing so strongly that we're doing all of this for you. He started the church, remember? The church in Corinth was started by Paul. They are actually his children in Christ. Mm-hmm. And he will refer to that. But he says, and our affliction is for your salvation and comfort. He says, so we want you to feel okay, even when you suffer the same sufferings that we're suffering. So it hasn't happened to them. Mm-hmm. He says, if this comes your way, I want you to be strong in this, knowing that we suffered through this and we made it. We were okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers.
I'm going to stop you, Steve, because that's just this one line we need to talk about.
Yeah, you betcha.
For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers. Actually, in the King James, I think it says, we do not want you ignorant, brothers. And one of the preachers I heard said the girls in the girls' dorm had a sign up that said, we do not want you ignorant, brothers. Anyway, carry on now.
That was fantastic. Of the affliction we received in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despised of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was only to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. Sorry, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many.
Yeah, we got to stop reading this kind of stuff. These guys were so much better than us.
You're tired of these things. This is nuts.
Yeah. Let me make you aware that that we were so hard done by that we despaired of life. Hmm. Like we really thought we were going to die. But that would just help us to realize that we serve a God who raises the dead.
Right.
You know, we're upset if we can't get, you know, they don't have the right kind of bacon at the store. But, this is the man that we're supposed to follow.
Right.
On whom we set our hope, he'll deliver us. And then he says, and pray for us, guys. Pray for us. Don't forget, this church has turned against him. Hmm. Now, you don't realize that just at this point, but as you get through the book, you're going to find out the church has turned against him. And he's really upset about it. So it's nice that he's starting and saying, come on, pray for us because we are suffering and it's for your sake.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do remember when you and I were talking about Acts that you made the point to say, they were to the point that God was saying to Paul, look, I'm going to protect you here. You were so desperate that I will protect you here.
Yeah, when he first went to Corinth, God said, no, he's going to harm you. Because he said, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. That's a really good point, Steve. Yeah. And the Lord said to him, no, he's going to harm you here. Yeah. But then as he got further along, churches being churches turned against him.
Yeah. Verse 12, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understood and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you.
Yeah. Oh, behave. When you read
yeah. Oh, behave.
Go ahead.
Oh, behave.
Yeah. I get the Mike Myers in my head. That's not good. Did you go down again so I can't tell you what this is about?
No. I'm right there. This is where.
Oh, there's the boast.
Yeah.
Our boast is, no, it's up. It's the higher boast, not the lower boast, right?
It's this one.
Aren't we on 8? Oh, we're on 12. Okay. Here we go, Steve. I see where we are.
Yeah, here, I'll put it right there.
Oh, you move it, then I'm lost. So, we behaved with simplicity and sincerity, not by earthly wisdom. Remember, Paul always pushes that. It's not by my smarts. Hmm. It's not by my wisdom. It's by the wisdom of God. And he does that again. We were simple with you.
Yeah.
We weren't Now, remember, he was an incredible, from what we can tell, he was a very bright man.
Right.
You know, and, you know, he was a young man. He was a Pharisee. He had to be married to be a Pharisee. As far as we know, he wasn't married and they still allowed it. Like this guy was bright.
Right.
And, but when he comes to people, he would often say, I didn't bring, you know, human wisdom, but I did this. I showed you the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing here. We did this, for you in simplicity. And so he's not insulting them. He's not saying, you know, you dumb pugs. I would say that, but Paul wouldn't.
Yeah. I had to dumb this down for you. So here it is.
Yeah. You know, I would have spoke at another level, although he does say, you know, you sort of understood us, and I hope one day you'll really understand us.
Right.
And on the day of Jesus, when Jesus comes back, we're going to boast in you. Mm-hmm. So he is still building them up, still trying to build them up.
Okay. Verse 15, because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and then come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus?
Yeah.
And Timothy and I.
The TV maker.
That's right. Sylvania, that's kind of what I heard in my head. Was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee.
So what you're going to find out a little bit later is it seems that so people have come into the church, right? And in 1 Corinthians, they talk about it as well. He talks about it as well. And he called them super apostles, right? And these people came in and said, you know, Paul, he taught you some stuff, but let's really teach you how this stuff goes. Mm. And they built themselves up and shot him down. And he had some kind of a painful experience with the church. And so he had intended to stop at the church on his way to Macedonia and then coming back so that they could send him to Judea for the Passover, right?
Right, okay.
And he was expecting that, but he kind of suggests probably in the beginning of two that he was trying to avoid the struggle that he had the first time. So even though he told him he was coming, he kind of went by them and went off to somewhere else. And it sounds like these people were saying, look, you can't even trust the guy. You know, he tells you he's going to do something and then he doesn't do it. I mean, the guy's useless. Right. And you can't. Leadership in the first century wasn't a whole lot different than leadership.
So true. Right.
Yeah. No matter what you do, you can't win. And so that's what this whole thing is about. He said, no, I was coming. But, you know, and when I say yes, I mean yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, I didn't come.
But that's different. No.
But I can explain that to you. Yeah. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I didn't vacillate on what I was saying to you. I really did mean it, but I had a reason for not doing it.
Yeah.
Right. and Timmy and Sylvanus and I were, we were coming. He says, God established Christ in us just like he did in you. That's our guarantee, which is kind of a weird little expression to say at the end of this. But he was saying to them, look, I fully intended to come.
Yeah.
Verse 23.
But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I had refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but that we work with you for your joy. For you stand firm in your faith.
Yeah. God, I call God to witness against me, which is weird. I as my witness, I think.
It's kind of a weird way to say it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I call God to witness against me. I don't like the way they wrote it here. But anyway, God's my witness. As God is my witness.
Yeah.
I thought turkeys could fly.
Yeah.
As God is my witness.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a fantastic reference if you get it, folks.
One of the best shows, the best show that ever came on TV. Yeah. Or that one. It was to spare you that I refrained coming again to Corinth. So see what he's saying? All that last part was to say, I know I didn't come, but it was so that I wouldn't yell at you again.
Yeah.
You dumb.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that he's writing this, and I think the emotion's welling up in him even as he's writing it. But he's that he is their pastor. He considers them, they're his children in Christ.
Yeah.
And they've turned against him, and he's trying to say, I really did want to come. I didn't, but I, you know, not that we lord it over your faith, but we want to work with you so that you will have joy and that you will stand firm in your faith. Yeah. And Lynn said there's actually a portion, I think she said Exodus. Exodus talks about standing firm in your faith. Mm-hmm. And standing firm in the Lord. And now I'm just going to, now I can't remember what Lynn said. I should have.
It was brilliant though. Right? Like we know that.
Oh, well, that part is obvious. Yeah. Yes. I'm not trying to tell you. Oh, Exodus 14:14 is along the same lines.
Yeah.
Where there it says, stand firm in God, stand firm in the Lord. Yeah. And here he's, and this is Paul's world, right? Judaism.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament. And now he is saying, you can stand firm in your faith.
Right. Well, and they would have got, the Jews in that crowd would have got that reference right away, right?
Yeah. And I wouldn't expect a lot of Jews in this crowd. But there will be, right? Because they were all over the world, right? So you'd be right. The Jewish people there would get it. Just Corinth is so Greek, man.
Yeah.
It is so Greek.
It's such a, I find this ending so interesting as you've introduced it here, you know, the ending of this first chapter. Because you think this happens in churches all the time, even today. Pastors are burdened for their congregations. And they feel rejected by them.
You know, there's lots of times when people will tell me what's going on in their church. And I'll say to Lynn, my father-in-law, especially this kind of stuff happened. And I'll say to Lynn, there's no way I would have stayed under those conditions. There's no way I would have hung in there. And my friend was pastoring a church and the board turned on him to the point where they had to bring the national office in. I mean, it was horrible. And I said, why? He says, God would not allow me to leave. And I get that. I always leave. Like, so, I mean, I am not a pastor. Yeah. You don't like the communion cups? I'm out of here, baby. I'm not wasting my time with you guys anymore. I was interim. But he said, I couldn't leave. And I know my father-in-law said that about places where he said, God would not allow me to leave. And actually, to a point where his wife had to pray for him that God would give him a release so that he could leave some of those places. Mm-hmm. And just got beat up terribly. Places that later on called him back, hey, we're having the 50th anniversary. We'd love to have you come back. Why don't you come back? Yeah. I don't know where my gun is. But he was the kind of guy who would go back because that's the type of guy he is.
Right.
You know, he's not a Larry who would say, no, I don't want to be in your book.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks for the offer.
It wasn't a good experience. I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But there's a pastoral thing that you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Like where God says, these are your children. You've got to hang in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. People often, I'm yakking away here now.
No, you're doing fine.
When I was the principal of that school, there were a lot of people in the churches that were looking for some education because they, as a second career, they wanted to be in ministry, right? Mm-hmm. And they really, ministry, I mean, ministers in some ways are just lazy pucks. I mean, they don't have a clue how real world works when it comes to working. And but in another way, it's such an incredibly hard job. As I said, I can't have all those people who know nothing telling me what to do all the time. And then I became a registrar, so I get all these people who know nothing telling me what to do all the time.
Tad bit of irony there.
Oh, yeah. God will win this thing every time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And Paul is trying, just exactly what you said, Steve. Sorry, I cut in and yakked away. But really, really, really has a burden for this church.
Yeah. And we still see the same problems today in the church. So it's just so fascinating that we're still there in so many ways.
Oh, yeah. We have, nothing's improved.
No. Well, my friend, that was a great introduction to 2 Corinthians. Folks, we're so glad you joined us. Like Larry said, we are just trying to do something that'll get us through to Christmas because we both take kind of a Christmas break and all that good stuff. So it's not like we're trying to figure out what could fill this time, but we were trying to figure out what we could do that kind of fit in the whole book of the Bible and finish it off that way. So until next time, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalary Podcast.